Hi, hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor with the Wusas and email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes.
We're live. I'm happy and excited today because we have the amazing Andrea Singletary with me of Mamaton Mompreneur, and she's going to be giving us the tea on how to hit your launch goals without social media. And that is something that I believe that each and every one of us want to hear today, because it's so easy to be on the social media hamster wheel every day, scrolling past. And if there's an easier way for you to do it, I definitely want to know, and I'm sure you do. So today we have Andrea. Welcome to the podcast, Andrea. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She is a visibility strategist for moms. She's going to tell us why moms. And one thing she does that I love so much is the fact that she helps you free up time so that you can spend more time with your little ones. So if you want to drive sales, drive leads without having to depend on social media, Andrea is the one for you. Andrea, let's hear from you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here. So let me just clarify, I don't just support moms. A lot of the women I do support aren't moms yet. But my messaging is primarily geared towards moms because, one, I am a mom, and one of the biggest things that I felt was missing when I first joined the online space was a lot of the content and support out there really wasn't geared towards moms. You know, they were telling us to do all of these things when in reality, we have little ones at home and don't necessarily have the capacity to post, you know, multiple times on socials, you know, creating reels every day, showing up in stories multiple times a day, creating carousels. Like, I wanted to create a space for moms who were in the thick of motherhood and running a business, and so that they could see it's possible and really help them to find a way that makes sense for them based in their season of life. And my messaging, although it is geared towards moms, it does resonate with a lot of other women who they're thinking about their future, who one day they do want to have kids, or even if they don't necessarily want to have kids, they don't want to be tied to social media. They don't feel like they have to keep doing this for the rest of their life in order to have a successful business. So essentially, I'm showing women like there is a different way. Like, you don't have to be so rooted in social media where it takes over your life. Like, I just even think about like B-roll content. Like, people aren't living in the moment. They're pulling out their phone like, oh, this is good for B-roll content. Let me record me having dinner with some friends, when you're supposed to be living in that moment, enjoying, you know, the company of your friends and family and stuff like that. So that's kind of like my whole thing. But like I said, I don't just support moms. I support women in general, but my messaging really is geared towards moms because not a lot of people out there are really showing how moms can do it, how you can be both a phenomenal mom and business owner.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in your messaging, one thing that really stood out for me is spend less time on your phone, the less time scrolling and all of those things, and more time with your little one. So for people who aren't moms, it's like, you know, more time living in a moment, more time with family, more time doing the things you love. So I totally love, like, that particular line is it for me. I just want to put it out there. So as a mom, this particular question, as a mom anyway, what's your favorite time, summer or spring?
Definitely spring, and it's because both of my kids, their birthdays are in April. So I really do love the springtime, especially like it starts to warm up, and you know, winter, it's always so down. Like, even though where I live, like, it's, you know, technically sunny most of the time and stuff, but I really love the springtime. It's just like things are renewed, like the flowers are blooming and different things like that. So I love the springtime.
Okay, okay. My birthday is in April too, so.
Oh, okay.
So let's look into this amazing launch that you did, right? Without social media, your first launch, your first successful launch without social media. And we're going to just dive right into it. You did this launch. And when did you do this launch?
So I launched back in June 2024.
All right. So in June 2024, Andrea did this launch and she did it without social media. She used her podcast and email marketing. And I've seen a lot of people do a lot of collaboration, social media, email marketing, in real life event email marketing. But I don't think I've seen a lot of people do just email marketing and podcast. Usually it would be like maybe TV. And so when I heard about it, I was pretty intrigued. And so we're going to be diving right into it. So let's start from what you wanted to achieve with this launch and why you decided to stick with. I mean, I know it's in line with your brand, and I think that's what I really love, like it's pretty on brand, but why you decided to choose podcast to go with your email marketing and what you wanted to achieve with this launch?
Yeah, so my goal for the launch was, well, just to kind of share, I was launching a membership. It's called the Social Media Detox Club. And essentially, it's a visibility membership. So I support the members with increasing their leads, increasing their visibility without relying on social media. And we do it through primarily collaborations. And so my goal for this was to have 10 women join. I was like, if I can get 10 women in, work with them and like really work out like any kinks with the membership and just kind of really get everything laid out the way that I want it to, then I can focus on growing it even more. And so my goal is like, okay, 10 women in. And the reason why I decided to, you know, just focus on email and podcasting is for a few reasons. Last year, I really saw like how my podcast was really a pivotal part of my business growth. The majority of my clients came from my podcast, even current clients, they would tell me, like, if we were on a call, they would say, oh, yeah, I remember you saying this in such and such podcast episode. And so I really was able to see how, like, my podcast was doing a lot of the heavy lifting for me. And then with email, it was the same thing. Like, I love writing emails. Last year, I leaned heavily into email marketing. Like, I even moved up to sending like 3 emails a week and everything like that. And I really was able to build this engaged email community. And so it just made sense. Like, my podcast and my email made sense to go together. But also, I wanted to lead by example. You know, I had been telling people, like, you can do it without social media. And you don't have to rely on social media, but I never actually had launched without using social media. I always would at least post on Instagram and stuff like that. And so I was like, you know what? If I'm telling these women they can do it, I need to show them that they can do it. And so I was like, you know what? It made sense, especially like the theme of the membership I was launching, the Social Media Detox Club. And so I was like, you know what, let's just go all in with it. Let's not utilize Instagram or anything like that. And let's fully lean into this idea that you do not have to rely on social media to build your business.
I totally love that. And I know what it feels like to just receive a blueprint that you can run with, because at the end of this, like, you know what, you said this, so. Even when you face like challenges, you just know that everything is going to work out. And I love it. So let's look at the goals for the campaign. So you were saying if you could just get like 10 people, right? So that was like a minimum benchmark. So I'm wondering, how long was this launch campaign, and did you break it into phases, or how did you go about it?
Yes, I did wonder that. And then I was just like, you know what? I had to give it to the Lord. Because with this membership, so God gave me this membership back in 2023. So at the end of 2023, I hosted my first bundle, and it was called the Social Media Detox Bundle. And when I did the bundle, the Lord dropped in my spirit to launch a membership that essentially kind of took that theme of the bundle I hosted and turned it into a membership. And I just sat on it. And I was like, no, I don't have a large enough audience. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to do this right now. Like, I just talked myself out of it. in 2024, like February 2024, the Lord just kept pressing on my heart to launch the membership. And I was like, no, it's not time. Like, it doesn't make sense right now. Like, stop. Like, I don't want to do it. Like, he just kept pressing on me. And he's like, if you don't do it, I'm going to give this to someone else. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And so because it was something that, like, he gave me the download for it, he gave me the vision for it, like, he gave me every little piece for it, I knew in my heart that it could not fail. Like, if this is from God, and if it's what he really wants me to do, it's not gonna fail. And so I think that really helped me fully embrace, like, not leveraging Instagram as part of the launch. And I had just complete peace about it. Like, I knew that it was going to work out, and I knew that I would at least hit my goal. So I think that really helped me when, you know, like, that mindset drama started to come up and everything. Yeah. So I did the pre-launch phase. So my pre-launch strategy, I did that 2 months before the open cart period. And then the open cart period was 14 days. So the total campaign was 10 weeks. And so basically, April and May of 2024, I was just getting visible, generating leads, and then driving people to the launch event that I was hosting. I was hosting a masterclass called Build a Visibility Strategy That Fit Your Current Season of Life. So that's where I was driving everyone to that live masterclass, because that's where I was going to announce the offer and all of that. Yeah, that, like I said, for April and May, like, the focus was just, like, getting in front of new audiences and collaborating with other people. Like, I did a mix speaking at virtual summits, as well as email swaps with women in my network who had a similar audience as me, and just, like, driving people to that masterclass.
Wow, that's a lot of lead generation. Email swaps, collaboration, summit, and all of them driving towards one thing. So with the masterclass, how close was the masterclass to the open cart?
So the day because it was a live masterclass, so the day the masterclass was hosted, basically that kicked off the open cart period, because after that masterclass, I sent out my first sales email to people who signed up for the masterclass. They got that first email. And then the rest of my email list the next day, it started sales emails for them. And then the day of the masterclass too, that's when I dropped a podcast episode announcing the offer. And I timed it to go live the same time that the masterclass was happening. So yeah, that kind of, like, that was that day. I think it was like June 4th or something like that. That's kind of, like, that kicked off the open cart period.
Okay, that's great. So I want to go a bit into some of the pre-work that you launched, right? So you talked about summits, you talked about email swap, and this was 8 weeks before, about 8 weeks before the open cart, based on, like, my calculation. So how did you keep people engaged, counting down from then to the masterclass that was going to hold, just, you know, hold to open cart?
Yeah. So, like I said, I focused on driving people to sign up for the masterclass. But also, kind of, like, what I did was I still sent out regular emails, kind of getting them, like, hyped up about the masterclass. So, like, really speaking to, like, their pain points and how they were currently feeling. And just to kind of backtrack a little bit. So I had did market research before kind of, like, launching everything. And one of the themes that I saw with, like, all of the responses I got was that people were burnt out on social media. They were tired of social media. They were tired of feeling like it was their only way. And so I really spoke to those different things about, like, how they were feeling and really helping them see, like, what was possible, you know, how they could do things differently, how they didn't have to follow, like, that cookie cutter advice, you know, we're often told when we start our businesses that you have to be on social media to be considered a legitimate business and everything. And so I really just spoke to those different things. And then also what I did was I drove them to other pieces of content. So like I was still publishing my podcast episodes. So I would drive them to, you know, different podcast episodes that again, kind of tied into this idea of building a visibility strategy that fits your current season of life, not relying on social media and everything. And so those things really helped keep them engaged. And then I also too, like, did a few giveaways during the masterclass. And so like, I made sure to talk about that, like, you know, making sure that they attend live so that they could enter the giveaways. Because I think I gave away like 3 one-on-one sessions with me. I did like those different strategies to kind of really keep them engaged and just really focusing on like what they were currently feeling and validating those feelings and really helping them to see like how the masterclass was going to help them find a better way, help them develop a strategy that worked for them.
I really like that giveaway one because it's something I did recently. And I feel like when you're doing like masterclasses and webinars, right, one of the things that I've seen work to drive show up rates and keep people engaged into the session is letting them know ahead of time that there's going to be a giveaway. People just seem to love to win, right? And once the giveaway is aligned with what it is that they want and in line with what it is that you're promoting to them, it's like a no-brainer. So it's like all I need to do is show up and then be part of the giveaway. And then they just, you know, take his hook, line, and think that. So I love that idea, and I like that you took them to different content pieces. So now I'm wondering, we had people come in from summits and those other places for lead generation, but where did the podcast come in for the launch? Was it just as lead generation, getting people to get to email, or was there some other way you combined podcast in the flow?
Yeah, so the podcast served multiple pieces or multiple steps in the whole process. So one of the things that I teach with podcast strategy is setting your podcast up as a sales funnel. So I leveraged it for one, lead generation, but also to nurture my audience and then drive them to initially to sign up for the masterclass and then after the masterclass, driving them to join the membership. And so I created strategic pieces of content that essentially, you know, tapped into, you know, those who are in the awareness stage and then tapped into those who were like in that engagement stage. And then finally, those who were like deciding whether or not they wanted to move forward with me. So I have like this whole framework for it, but I created, you know, different pieces of content that essentially met people where they were at in the customer journey.
All right. So that's great. So again, I'm thinking we have these multiple pieces of content intertwined with each other. Now we have 2 audiences. We have the people who have been on your list already and the people who are coming in through lead generation. Right, you send like 2 different sets of emails and things, or did you stick to sending people the same thing after they had gone through the like the welcome sequence and all of that before getting into like your main email?
So because the goal was for people to attend the masterclass, so like during that pre-launch phase, I didn't do a welcome sequence. I just kept the focus on the masterclass. And so, for instance, when it came to like people who joined my email list through the email swaps that I did, the copy I provided for those emails who I was collaborating with, it was telling them like they're signing up to join this masterclass, what the masterclass was about and everything. And so the emails that I wrote during that period, like the focus was on the masterclass. So like the goals of the masterclass, what they were going to take away from the masterclass, you know, what they'll be able to achieve after applying the strategies taught in the masterclass. So that was the overall focus. Now, the people who joined my email list from the virtual summits that I spoke at, they did go through a welcome sequence, but that was because they joined my email list a lot earlier. I had a free private podcast called Get Visible Off Socials. And so I had a welcome sequence set up for that. So they binged the podcast. And so they were kind of getting nurtured in that sense and being introduced to like some of the strategies that I was going to be teaching in the masterclass. But again, because they joined my email list like 1 to 2 months before the actual masterclass, I had that time to kind of let them go through that welcome sequence first.
Okay. Now, I just have to mention, because you mentioned your free podcast, the private one. I totally enjoyed it. And I think episode 6 is my favorite because it talks about how to attract ready-to-invest clients from collaboration. And it is one of the things that Andrea has shared with us as a freebie. So if you also want to go through this podcast and find out what she talked about in episode 6 that will help you attract ready-to-invest clients from collaboration, the link will be in the description, but you can get it at mamatonvonpreneur.com/experiment, I believe, and you will find that there. But the link is also in the show notes. So to my next question, because I'm really loving the breakdown of how you did all of this, let's look at the performance and data, right? So you did all of these emails, and I'm wondering, we had these emails going out over 10 weeks. How did you stagger the emails in terms of maybe the number of emails you send a week? And how did people engage with these emails in terms of performance? Did you notice maybe they were more engaged at a certain period? There was a drop off and then it increased. What was the pattern that you saw?
So during the pre-launch phase, I just followed my same email pattern. So I think at that time I was sending out 2 emails per week. And I just followed that. And so I would send emails that would drive people to either sign up for the masterclass or remind them about the masterclass. And then I would send the other email would drive them to my podcast. So again, just kind of like really trying to help stay top of mind in the sense like the masterclass is coming. This is going to, you know, solve the problem that you've been dealing with and everything. And so I leverage both the email and the podcast that way during the pre-launch phase.
Okay. I totally love that one. Now we've emphasized a lot on the pre-launch, right? And I want to know, did you have like 2 phases, pre-launch and launch, pre-launch open cut or, okay, pre-launch open cut. All right. So that's great. Now, what was the result based on all this work that you put in, all the collaborations, all the emails? How did that impact on the membership launch? Or if you have the data, please share. We'd love to know how many emails you sent.
Okay, so I don't know the number like during the pre-launch phase. I guess if I was doing 2 per week, that would have been 32 or 16? Yeah. But for the open cart period, so that was 2 weeks long. I sent out a total of 28 emails over the course of 2 weeks. My open rates ranged from 48 to 54%. The total number of clicks to the sales page, so for all of the emails, it was a total of 250 clicks. And then the number of unsubscribes for like the open cart period was 105. And I think during that time, my email list was, I had like 1,100, 1,200 people on my email list.
Because a lot of people want to be like, don't send too many emails. People are going to, you know, put you in their black books and all of that. So send 8 emails in 2 weeks is 14. Now that's a huge one. So how did you feel sending 8 emails in 2 weeks?
I felt good about it because Kay Hillman, she's big on send more emails and stuff. And so working with her really helped me overcome that mindset drama around sending more emails. My thing is this, like, I give you a lot of value on my email list. I connect and engage with my community, but also I'm here to sell. Like, you have a problem, I have a solution, I'm going to sell that solution to you. And so I felt fine with it. And the best part was that, like, I got so how much they like just gained from them, because although I'm selling in those emails, I also give lots of value and really just speaking to their current reality and validating their feelings and different things like that. And so I felt really good about it. Like, I writing the emails, I loved writing them. And I think that was the other thing with this offer. It was like the first time I had created an offer that I felt so in alignment with and had so much clarity on, like, who this offer is for and what problem it solves. And so I had all these creative ways to talk about it. And I got so many good questions, like people sending me DMs, people sending me emails, you know, asking questions about the membership, that I was actually able to write even more emails. So I didn't start out actually with 28 emails. I got lots of questions like during the open cart period. And I was like, oh, let me write an email answering that question, because if they have that question, I'm sure someone else does. And so, yeah, like I felt good about it. And now, like, I'm a firm believer in sending more emails, like, because not everybody's going to open every single email. And it's like, you have to think about the different buyer types and, you know, what stage of the customer journey people are in and all of that. And so you're essentially, you have to create emails for different people. And so when you have clarity on who those different people are, you realize like, okay, yeah, I got to write more emails if I'm going to, you know, meet people where they're at.
Wow. That's amazing. So you more than, you almost doubled your launch goal. Almost doubled it. That's huge. That's a really good one. I love it. So if you were going to try out this exact framework that you have used that helps you not just hit your launch goal, but almost to exit, would you do anything differently?
Well, before I answer that, I did want to know, because I did pull numbers, like number of emails sent and like open click rates and unsubscribe. So did you want me to share that, or do you want me to answer what I would do differently?
Because I was going to ask you if you wrote all the emails ahead of time, but I think that this is even more interesting. The fact that, you know, as the data was coming and you were getting feedback, you were just leveraging that to be able to ensure that you were meeting people where they are. And this is the thing I like to tell my community, the right message to the right people at the right time. So if in that time people are having that that question, then we go ahead and give it to them instead of waiting, irrespective of the number of emails. And then it came with positive feedback. So people loved the emails. People found it useful. People had their questions answered. And that's just the deeper level of connection to build your community. And so I find that so interesting. So the earlier question I asked, what would you do differently if you had to do this whole strategy again?
Yeah, so there were like three things that I said I would do differently. One, I would send even more emails just because there were like, lots of questions were coming in. And so I wasn't able to, like, during that launch, answer all of them. But then also to not set such low goals. Like, I know that I could have gotten even more people in the membership for that initial launch and everything. But I set a low goal because I didn't know what to expect and everything. So just having that confidence, especially like this was something that God gave me. And so he could do exceedingly above anything I can think or imagine. And so really like just having that confidence in it. But I would say those would be like the two biggest things. I wanted to go back and I wanted to say something too that like that was different with this launch. A lot of the women who initially joined the membership, well, not a lot of them, like a couple of them, they kind of saw me build this membership behind the scenes. So like, for instance, the person who did like my sales page, she got to read the sales page copy. She was building out the sales page. So she knew she was going to join. And she was just waiting for me to send her the link. And then my coach, because she was working with me, like mapping out certain aspects of the launch plan and everything like that, she was like, okay, just send me the link so I can join. And so I think that was like one unique aspect of it. But then also as the women were joining, they were going and telling other people about the membership and having sales conversations for me, essentially. And so that was a big part of the success of the launch too, was that they were bringing in other people during this open cart period. And even now, my current members, they're always bringing new people in. And so I thought that was just like a really amazing aspect of this offer, because I've never had that before with any of my other offers. And not to say that, you know, the people I serve weren't served well or different things like that, but it was just, it really just goes to show like how much God's hand was on this offer and still is on this offer. And just how the women in my community, they're selling the offer for me. Like, they'll talk to people like, oh, yeah, you need to join Andrea's membership and different things like that. So I wanted to share that, too.
Yeah, and I see the lot on threads. Like, I just see a picture, a testimonial, and then it's like, oh, and I'm like, I already know about this membership. And I really love how their heart is so in it. Literally, if you see the testimonials, you just know that they are getting exactly what they want, and they love it so much that they just come in and tell you that, oh, this thing, you know, I did this, we tried this out, and this is the result. And they're so excited, and the excitement is so contagious that you see it and it's like, why am I not in this room? I should get in this room. So it's so amazing like that, because I have seen it literally, because I ask myself, like, what do I need to do to build this kind of connection with your audience? Just that they love what you do so much that without you telling them anything, you just go talk about it. And when they talk about it, you see a lot of people ask big questions. So yes, I have seen the ripple effect of that particular thing. So thank you so much. Now I want us to go into a special segment. I call it the rapid fire. So it's a series of short questions. Some around what you've said or things about you. So for the first one, there was a clip the time you mentioned that with your podcast, you see people convert from your podcast in about like 7 days. So go from listener to client in like 7 days. And I was really curious, like, how do you track it? Yeah, how do you track it? Because I feel like that's a really good metric to know, that somebody can listen to your podcast and it take them 7 days to go to, you know, to convert to a client. So I was really curious about that.
Yeah, so it's so funny because I can see it in real time. So I'll see that I get like a random spike in podcast downloads. Like it'll be over 100 downloads and I'm like, okay, new person binging the podcast. And then I get a follow on Instagram. They join my email list. And then when they convert into any of my offers, I ask, you know, where they found me, how they heard about me. And it's always the podcast. And so I'm able to track that timeline from the time they listen to the podcast, they follow me on Instagram, they join my email list, and then convert into the offer. So I'm able to track it that way. And then also I use like the unique links. So like I have certain links that are just for the podcast and then certain links that are just for my email. So I'm able to kind of track it that way too. But it's like, it's always the same process. Like I get the like spike in downloads and then it's like around the same time they both join my email list and follow me on Instagram. And then they convert into the offer. So yeah, I'm able to kind of track it that way.
I love how you know the process to it too, because you know, during the conversation, you talked about the customer journey. And I can see how you've already visualized it in terms of, it's not just visualizing, like you just know that this is the pattern for you. Podcast, follow, email list, client. Like it's so great to have that much clarity, because there's a lot you can do about it and around it when you know what your conversion drivers are and things you need to put in place to be able to like increase those numbers and, you know, parallels, right? So that's really great. So let me ask you, for you, what would you say your customer journey is? So if you're planning a launch, what are the customer journey phases you're anticipating?
Yeah, so of course, the awareness stage, and essentially how I do that is a combination with my podcast and collaborations. And then even now Threads has been really good for visibility too. So that's kind of like what I've focused for, like the top of the funnel. And then for like the middle and then the end of the funnel, podcasts and my email list, those are the drivers for that.
That's right. That's good. Now, this one is way up your alley and your expertise. If I were to launch without socials today, what's the number one thing you're going to tell me to do?
Get visible. and I say this because that is a step that I see a lot of people miss. They build their offers in silence, essentially. And then they throw the offer out there on socials, but then it's crickets. And the reality is that, like, you have to build an audience to sell to. So that means that you need to get visible, and it has to be more than just socials. Like, we really have to track, like, what is going on. And people are burnt out on social media, especially, like, we've had so much happen in the last few months, like the elections last year. People wanted to get off of socials because of that. Then right now, you know, we have in Southern California, the fires and stuff like that. Like, people are just tired of scrolling socials, and there's just a lot of negativity. And it's not all bad, but there is a lot of it. And so people are choosing to protect their peace, and they're getting off of socials. And so if you're constantly relying on social media as your visibility platform, well, not enough people are seeing you. So you have to look at, like, where people are going. People are listening to podcasts. People are attending, like, virtual summits and different things like that. People are signing up for bundles. So looking at other ways to get visible and generate the leads and grow your audience so that you actually have an audience to sell to. Like, that's like, you, people have the other, so they have the marketing and the sales down, but you're not actually building a community to sell to. And so that has to be like top priority.
So be visible. You all have heard it, like, top priority, be visible. And it's not just about social media. I mean, when you talked about all the pre-work you did for the launch, summits, bundles, that's a lot of collaboration, email swaps, and you name it, you did all of it. So yes, I love that you're living your truth and staying visible and reminding us to be visible. So with this one, yeah, right, you've done podcast is your thing, and you've done summits. So if I was to ask you summits or podcast.
It's hard because I love both. Like, I love guesting on podcasts and having those one-on-one conversations, but I also love doing summits, especially when I'm able to do like either interview style or like a live panel discussion. So it's kind of hard to choose. I love both. Because even like last year, I got to speak at an in-person conference, and it was kind of like a panel discussion, and I absolutely love that. So I think being able to engage that way and like have people ask me questions, I really love that. So it's kind of hard to choose between the two.
Yeah, and I saw pictures of that particular summit, and it looked so amazing. I wanted to get myself in the room, but I'm on this side of the world. So yeah, definitely. But I get how it could be hard. And so as we wrap up this session, I'd like you to tell us a bit more about your membership and how people can join in.
So like I said, my membership is called the Social Media Detox Club. And essentially, I support you with generating a minimum of 50 new leads per month in less than 2 hours per week. And we do that through leveraging collaborations. And a really big focus of the membership is helping you to generate the right leads, quality leads. I see a lot of people get started with collaborations like bundles and speaking at summits, but they quickly find that the people that they're getting on their email list aren't actually aligned, or aren't actually people who want or need their offers, who aren't quality leads. And so I teach you strategies to ensure that you're participating in the right collaborations and that your messaging is on point and you're speaking on those topics that are going to bring in the right people. You're creating these offers for bundles that are going to attract the right people. So that's a big focus of the membership. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to mamaturnmompreneur.com/membership. Other ways to connect with me, I have my own podcast, Marketing Without Socials for Moms, and I talk about all the things we essentially talked about today, just building a business that isn't reliant on social media. And then I am on Instagram. I'm like not always posting, like I update my grid quarterly, but my DMs are always open. My handle is mamaturnmompreneur. And then I'm very active on Threads. And so my handle for that is also mamaturnmompreneur.
Yes, you're very active on Threads. I see it. And that's one of the places where we connected, aside the community that we are both in. And it has been a pleasure doing this session. So y'all go connect with Andrea, Mamaturn Mompreneur. And all the links will be in the show notes in the description. And in addition to that, if you didn't take home anything from today's session, I need you to know that you need to be visible. Visible so you can drive leads to your email list. Visible so that more people can hear about the amazing things you're doing and they can go ahead and get into your email community and you can build from there. Thank you so much for this session and see you next time, same podcast, and we'll dive more into email marketing experiment. Thank you so much, Andrea. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.